So this is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and I'm with Superintendent Charles Oskey. Hello, Charles.
Good morning. No, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We usually interview in the morning, so
we
this
do.
Is good. So afternoon.
We do. And today we're joined by some high school students who want to grill you and ask you some questions about some things that are important to them. So I'm very happy to introduce Cadence Ingling and Hazen Camino, Maddie Ludwig, Gia Montrastelli.
Yes.
I have to say quietly, slowly rather, and Riley Holmes. And they're going to ask some questions of Mr. Oskey, and you're going to do your best to answer.
I am, and I just got done grilling 600 hamburgers for the elementary, so this will be just an extension.
Oh, excellent. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Cadence, you had a question for Mr. Oskey.
Yeah, so a lot of our questions today are kind of based around sports and that sort of thing. So kind of the first thing I have to ask you is, how does the budgeting system for sports work out, and how do you split it equally if equipment costs more for different schools and that sort of thing?
Oh, that's a great question. So it's part of the funding model. So sports are funded for activities. So activities, actually K-12, so you're given a certain amount of funding per student, per district. So there's a total amount that's generated with the block model, which is a state level. So that's kind of a high-level thing of how that's funded. So then you come back to what I think you guys are probably talking about today is Wyoming High School Activities Association sports. Is that correct? And how that's funded. So, in transparency, what we're funded and what we expend in the district is almost 200% over the model.
Wow.
So that's why we currently, since I got here, and with the new business manager, we've started an activity committee to start looking at where that funding lands and those expenditures. So, the model generates a certain amount of money, which is a block model, but then how we expend that money with activities is kind of based, each district and each board has that decision based on that, but that is one of the areas we're kind of looking at. So where's the equity? Why are we so far over the model with that funding? So, but in addition to that, and I want to make it very clear, most districts are over the model the way it's funded, all right? So in that percentage. So looking at that, but Johnson County is the highest percentage over the model compared to other schools our size. So that is a challenge, and there's a lot of, we could probably talk for 2 hours and I can get out that spreadsheet and show you, but it to simplify it, there's a certain amount of money, then each district has the ability to determine how much they're going to spend on activities.
Okay.
Is that fair?
So does that mean then that the model may not be very good if there are many other school districts who are not able to sort of stay on the target that the model...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the costs have gone up, how it's funded, but it's the same thing with the teacher model. So I'm going to take a little side trail. So teachers are funded at $38,000 base salary, but yet most districts pay anywhere from $46,000 to $50,000 for their base. So it's very similar to how the model just kind of generates money. That's why if you're going to get into politics with me, it's that we want to keep it a block model so that we can fund what we feel is appropriate.
Okay. So you're not really saying that Johnson County is spending twice as much as anywhere else. It's just that the way the model...
The way the model works. However, we are looking at that because we are... for districts our size and for our division do spend a little bit more. So we are looking at that.
Thank
so
you.
That will be a great question if you'll come back in about 6 months. I can really tell you where that funding goes, okay?
Yeah.
Fair?
Yes.
Thanks, sir. So what's your favorite high school sport to watch?
Well, I've got to say wrestling, but yes. So to come back to that, I just enjoy watching kids. So 16 years as a football coach, a wrestling coach, as we kind of move through that, but just watching kids compete. So knowing that kids are involved in activities, I know the value of it. That's kind of a loaded question. So I'm never going to say I love watching wrestling just because I have a passion and a coach for 16 years and seeing what it did. But I also enjoy football, enjoy watching basketball. I enjoy coming to the concerts. I would have been in choir in high school, but I didn't do it. But I just enjoy watching kids compete. So whether it's track, soccer, just watching kids and knowing the time it takes for you to do those extracurricular activities and still compete at the level that you do is a respect for that. So the marching band when you guys are out there late at night, and then you come and watch you, or the plays, okay? And again, back to wrestling, I know everything it takes to be successful in that sport, and it's kind of lengthy. So just watching kids being competitive or having the opportunity to compete is something that I enjoy doing.
So what high school sports did you compete in when you were in high school?
So when I was here in Buffalo, I played football, I wrestled, and then I did track for a couple years. So what I coached was football, wrestling, strength and conditioning, and sometimes track. So, and then coached at the junior national level for freestyle for the state of Wyoming. So most of my coaching was wrestling and football, though. And a vocational teacher, so I was a shop teacher, as they used to call us. Okay?
Okay, so I know last year, or in the past few couple recent years, there was bringing indoor track and, like, girls wrestling. So what steps do you have to take to get a new sport introduced into BHS?
So the new sports being introduced, so in my perspective, indoor track was already a sport that was here because you were co-oping with Sheridan. So that was a sport that was always here. It was just a matter of transferring it here. So that was something of just who was sponsoring it, because you had already sponsored it as a sport. But to bring a new sport in, first of all, it has to be offered by the Wyoming High School Activities Association. So we'll go down the road. In order to bring in a new sport in the state, you have to have a minimum of at least 8 schools that are willing to participate in it. And then that comes back to the community and the board and their budgets and financially where they're at. So then that would be a decision that kind of leads into how we do with that. As far as girls wrestling goes, there was no cost to that. They've already been doing it. It's just actually the cost was just adding a little minimal cost to the state to have that piece, but most of the programs around the state already had girls wrestling, and it wasn't really an addition of a new team.
Okay.
So, following on from that, are there any sports that Johnson County has its eye on that it would like to introduce?
Mr. Oski, as a superintendent, is going to wait till this activity committee comes back and we kind of determine where we are with our funds. So, at this point in time, I can say no.
Perfect. Okay, so the next question we have is, so what are some challenges you see in athletics? So, for example, some, like, transportation, finding coaches, sickness and injuries, and, like, scheduling around, like, just normal school things.
All of those. So let's talk about all of those. So, first of all, everything comes back to, and I don't want to be this, but everything comes back to the cost of running. So, transportation, your fuel costs have gone up, but we also are limited on very bus drivers, so how many kids, whether you can get kids to an event or not, that's can be sometimes a stressor, and that's kind of where we're at now, is how do we fill activities and get people to their events, because Buffalo, Johnson County, kids compete, they're out for extracurricular, so getting the kids from to their destinations with limited drivers is a struggle, and it's not just a struggle for us, it's around the state. The cost of referees. So the pool of referees is very limited, so you see schedules being adjusted according to when referees can come ref, which then impacts your educational time. So you got to kind of find that balance. Want to keep kids in school, but still have that opportunity of where that lands. So just on an average, you know, a high school varsity football game can run $350 to $500 bucks just in referee costs. People don't see those events. That doesn't include the lights, the judges, and what you pay to do other things. So events do cost a little time and money to do that. People that, you know, that are on time that have to come clean up, to set up, the tear down, and all that kind of stuff are little things, but they add up over time. So that's kind of a challenge in getting people to be able to do some of those things. Uniforms obviously go up, maintaining and keeping that cost of that equipment goes up. And so there's a lot of things behind it, that behind the scenes that people don't see that kind of influence that. Coaching, same with teachers. There's just not a lot of people in the world that are wanting to step up for the certification piece to be a coach along with referees. So you're struggling more with what that looks like. And I'm going to age myself. But 30 years ago, finding coaches to work with you was pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, now, even 10 years ago, when we had a teaching opening, we'd have maybe 30 or 40 applicants. Now we have one or two. Okay, we've had coaching positions that go open until the day of, until somebody decides they want to do it. So it's just that struggle of but finding the time to get coaches in all around. But there is a cost, okay? And how do you mitigate that in such a way that kids aren't impacted is truly our responsibility, but it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a lot more no's in the future, not because we want to say no, but there's just certain limitations. Is that fair?
Yes.
Did I answer your question?
A coach is paid to coach?
They are.
Yeah. And how does that like process happen, like them selecting a coach or you guys getting
So to do it, it has to be done in an interview process. So they have to apply, they interview, and then you go through an interview process. And then they have to be certified, so they have to be fingerprinted to make sure they're okay. And then you have to go through the PTSB. And if you're going to be a head coach, you have to take certain courses to do that. So it's a very lengthy process, and actually some districts tried to change that, and it didn't get changed, and I agree with that, because coaches in front of kids are just as important as teachers, so we want to make sure they're certified, and they have background checks, and we're doing the right thing. So
sure.
You just don't get hired, then you have to get certified, you have to do, so there's a very lengthy process, okay?
I have a question kind of piggybacking off of the uniform thing. How do you distribute, like, the money for each sport activity for them to get?
Well, as Mr. Oski continues this journey, we're going to have uniform rotations, and you put that on a basis, and then you budget for it, and you plan for it. So long-term planning is key.
Gotcha.
So as Mr. Oski was presented, I'm just going to use this as an example. They did a great job with the marching band uniforms, okay? Had no idea they're 15 years old. But yet no money has been put aside, and that could be anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000, which is not in the budget. So we want to prevent that.
Right.
I don't plan on being here in the next 12 to 15 years, but I would like the person in my position to say, oh, we financially have planned for a uniform rotation, whereas most of the rotations are every 5 years. Okay.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of in a rotation. Football is huge expense because
yeah.
your helmets have to be reconditioned and certified, and they can only last so many years. And when a helmet costs $350 to $500 for the safety and the pads, you've got to budget. So
right.
you've got to put a rotation together for equipment and some other things, but you also got to take care of it so it lasts longer. So maybe it's the Basco sheep herder coming out that says maybe we take care of the stuff, it'll last a little bit longer. So those are some of the things we'll try to do too.
Okay. Cool.
Am I answering your questions or not?
Yes.
You are, for sure.
How do you feel athletics affect our school climate?
Okay, activities are the heart of a school district when I say this, okay? However, I want to repeat, our job is to educate kids, okay? You're talking about the culture, so let's talk about culture. Pep bands, homecoming. It's the culture and the community which you rally around. But our end result is creating student athletes, okay, is here to the deal, or students that can be successful in life. So it is kind of the core in Wyoming for your communities, all right? Your schools are the central hub for your communities. So is it important? Yes. However, I want to emphasize, our job is to make sure you have a quality education so that you can be successful outside of that. All right, so balancing those two has a positive impact on what's happening in school culture. So if, which I know Buffalo does, KC does, they rally around their kids, they rally around the activities, which if done in the correct way, increases a positive culture within the school, which should impact student performance in a positive way too. Because the reference, if we're going to come back to it, you heard me say student-athletes, all right? Student-athletes.
Mm-hmm.
The student first, not athlete-student. So we got to make sure you're successful in life because activities teach you some things that you won't learn in the classroom. That's about failure. It's about organization of time, how to the real world can be kind of tough, right? Mm-hmm. It's not as easy. It's not one of those things. But this is a great opportunity to give kids like you an opportunity to learn to be successful on some of those other things and not just necessarily academics. But you study for a test, you get what you put into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't study, guess what? Unless you're some of those guys that don't have to study and can just get a good grade, it's kind of what you put in is what you get out, very similar to athletics, right?
Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Oscar, you've been a student athlete yourself.
Yes.
And a coach and a teacher. What do you think are the benefits that individual students get from being involved in activities? I don't want to just say athletics, but in activities, not just coming
to
school,
that's a great question.
Going into class and then going home.
It's managing of your time. It's learning about how to manage. It's how to make choices because we can't do it all. So finding out what your interests are, what your love is, but you know, balancing school and those extracurricular things, probably a more appropriate word is extracurricular things, is that's what the real world is. Going on to college, it's the same thing there. High school athletics is a little different than college athletics because college athletics is a job, especially if you get a scholarship, all right? Where here, it's not quite as intense, but it provides some opportunities. But as a coach, I got to know my kids, especially as a wrestling coach. You leave on a Friday morning at 3:30, and you get home Sunday morning at 3:30, mm-hmm. All right? You spend a lot of time with kids. You see a lot of emotions, a lot of up and downs, and everything that go through this. So you get to know your kids, and to watch them be successful, win just one match, but learn to be successful, and then 10 years later, they're coming up to you and saying, hey, I've been very successful because of what we learned, and because of the academics, is really rewarding. So
students, let me ask you the same sort of question, which is, what do you think in your, some of you are, your juniors, a mixture of juniors and seniors, some of you are almost at the end, you've got one more semester, and then high school is done with. I think you've all been pretty involved in extracurricular activities. What do you think you've gained from them that you wouldn't have done if you had just gone home at 3:30 every day?
I think, like, accountability, I guess, because, like, the whole being ineligible, like, if you're not putting in your, like, schoolwork and, like, you're a key part of, like, a team and then you're not eligible to play, like, your team is kind of holding you accountable, like, to get your grades up and everything because you need to be, like, a part of a team because you're, like, important, I guess. So it's, like, accountability of the whole team to, like, stay eligible, I guess.
And like Mr. Oski said, like, time management is crazy because, like, just fall for me is insane. So you go from school and then you go to whatever sport you're doing. So I was in cross country, and then I had a little bit of time between cross country and marching band, and I'd be doing the play in between that time. And then after marching band, we get done at 9 or whatever on Mondays, and then you have homework. So you have to be able to balance that, and you have to be the right type of person. You learn, like, through all those things that you, if, like, like, you have to be able to, like, weigh out your options and, like, what's the most important in this moment and how can I be successful. And like Maddie Ann said, like, you have to hold yourself to accountable that you're, if you're doing all these things, you need to be able to do them to your best of your ability.
I think high school sports have, and activities have taught me a lot about discipline, like, showing up to practice every day. And sometimes it can be really hard, but at the end of the week when you go to compete, it's just so, like, what's the word?
Rewarding,
yeah.
I also think you get a lot of sense of kind of the family aspect of things. I've gotten really close with my volleyball team, especially I got injured in the beginning of the season, so I didn't compete as well as they did. But kind of having that family aspect and trust within people, I think, is a really cool opportunity that you can get from extracurricular activities. So.
I think attitude is one thing that I picked up. Just keeping a positive attitude when things are not going your way. When you're on top of the world, you just have to keep a good attitude, have good sportsmanship, and to whatever you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with all those things you've said, and that also you learn a lot of about life and how life works, mm-hmm. Which is that it doesn't always go according to plan, and sometimes, you know, you have to work as a team and compromise, and sometimes you have to dig a little deeper, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. There's a lot to be learned in life, mm-hmm. just by having fun, you know, doing yes. something in a group and being committed to that too.
I agree. Okay, we have...
Do we have another question?
We have two more.
Okay.
So, one I have for you are, what are some positives or negatives about school athletics or kind of activities for the district and an individual student?
Ooh, the positive or negatives as far as the district goes. The positives are, I think it's important, and we talked about it, it's culture, mm-hmm. all right? The hard part, and I don't want to say the negative, but the challenge is, how do you fund it? All right, so it's not about, it's negative. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever point that out. It's where's the challenge at? And the challenge is, how do you fund things, if what that looks like. Individually, for myself, for my kids, all the kids that I coached over my career, individually, there's so much to be gained, not only in the classroom, but with extracurricular, which I've heard you guys talk about, is that self-discipline, mm-hmm. You know, getting to the point where you can do it on your own. You're a problem solver, right? And every failure, there's something to learn, okay? Mm-hmm. If you choose not to learn from a failure, that's your choice. But there's always something you can do better. Because if you talk it, and I'll come back to the sport of wrestling, that state champion, he got himself better every time, all right? They had an attitude. And a positive attitude. I lost. Okay, it won't happen next time. Who works harder? Same thing in football, basketball, the same way. You do repetitions, volleyball. Everything's about a repetition, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You do that in marching band. You do it in choir. You sing, you repeat, you repeat, you repeat. Well, same thing in the classroom. Just because you don't get it the first time, you should do what? Mm-hmm. Practice it till you understand it, right? And those are all things that we decide as individuals at what level we want to be at and where we want to be satisfied. Okay, I think the negative to this, it's exhausting for you as individuals.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we also live in a world, we want to do everything. Mm-hmm. The smorgasbord, in my opinion, is way too large. Have you guys ever went through a smorgasbord and adding stuff and then you felt miserable afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same thing. We all want to do it. We all want to be, we all want to be a part of it. We've got to find that balance. Otherwise, we get exhausted, right? We got to balance. Academics are still important, but yeah, I want to do this, 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 and this. Well, guess what? There's only 24 hours in a day. There's only 7 days in a week, and there's only 365 days in a year. And for high school students, there's only 4 years for across the board. So you time is not to you have to sleep. I'm sorry, you're growing. You have to be mentally, but that exhaustion piece is trying to find that balance. And we all want to do everything, right? Mm-hmm. But you've got to really, we've got to help guide to say you can't do everything, because you still need to stay healthy mentally and physically, right?
Absolutely.
I'm going to jump off course. We've got two more questions. And one thing, back to the community, backing behind, you know, schools. What do you think are the most positive parts of Spirit Weeks and the activities we do in the community?
What do I think the most important part is?
Yeah, and like, you know, the most like beneficial to kids, mm-hmm. bring spirits up.
Well, first of all, I think it starts within the school itself. It starts with administration, it starts with the teachers, and it starts with the students, because if they have a positive vibe, the community will get a positive vibe. They'll show up. Okay, I've been to communities where sorry, but there's not very many people that show up, all right? There's not a lot of support, and so there's not a lot of excitement among the kids. And that, so I think among the community is when kids are excited, the grandparents, the parents, and everybody gets excited, you start doing some boosters. And I think we heard it at the Wright Road. I'm pretty sure I heard that conversation. If you want something to be done, you invite the busiest people already in the world to get it done. And that's what you see within the community. So to say it's one specific thing, it's homecoming for football, or it's the Winterfest, or some different things, I wouldn't pinpoint it that way. I would say it starts with the students and the staff within the buildings. Great example. So we had the two elementary schools and the middle school take on a challenge and a fundraiser of the ringing of the bells, the red kettle, whatever we want to call it. So, enthusiasm, which some of us are very competitive in that piece, all right, started the challenge among the administrators and the teachers. All right, so last year we raised $1,000 between all three schools. This year we raised over $4,600.
Wow.
So it started internally, announcing, getting exciting, getting kids, getting teachers, okay, out, a little bit of competitive between administration, who's at what building. So again, I think a lot of what your community spirit and a lot of things that happen because, first of all, from you guys, but then it happens from the great people. I'm going to go back to the right road. It's a great example. You've got people in this community that care about you as kids, all right? So if you're excited and they're excited, you just get a lot of people that show up. And not to age myself, but at the Bison Bowl, when you showed up for a football game, the whole community drove their cars in. They parked around the Bison Bowl, had their lights on. And so if the lights went out, you just turned your lights on. You could play football because everybody was parked and honking. That was the community spirit that's still here. All right? People were parking at 7 o'clock in the morning to get into the football game. Okay? The high school gym was packed. All right? People came in. So it all starts with, honestly, the students and the staff and getting parents excited. Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And back on track, with the recent number of snow days, how's that affected your job and the school district?
Are my eyes red, lack of sleep, high stress, Murphy's Law? It is. It's not an easy decision, but I own everything that I did. It impacts everything we do. So to kind of talk about it, my job starts at about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30. Calling meteorologists, talking with our superintendents, talking with transportation, talking with facilities. So when we do those kind of things, you usually have to make the call between 4:30 and 5 in the morning because buses get out, teachers have to come in. So you're usually making the call when it's still dark out. And you base it a lot on facts that you hear from other professionals, but it's also based like on this last scenario. We did virtual, but we went virtual for one day for one reason, because the meteorologist felt that the upgrade to a blizzard storm was after 10 o'clock. If the storm rolled in like it thought, we potentially weren't going to get any kids home, and then we were going to be out of school for 3 to 4 days. So thank goodness they were wrong. Mm-hmm. All right. So then you readjust every day, and then it's a 2-hour late start, and then it's a 2-hour late start, and then a normal start. So there's just a lot of unknown variables, and it's called Murphy's Law that goes into play. But we have to keep families and everybody else in mind, because some of them still have to go to work. But thank goodness the meteorologist was off. The storm didn't hit like it was supposed to, and we were able to adjust and keeping kids in school. And you think back, when I was in high school, if they were to close school down for 3 days and then said, okay, you got to come back 3 days before you go on Christmas break, I probably would have been sick, or pretended to be sick, and finals. But there's also a different level. Back when I was in high school, we didn't have college courses. We didn't have to complete at the end of a semester. We didn't have the transition and accountability. So just taking a lot of things into accountability. So what data person I am, we did attendance every day virtual and then when we were in person. And I can say that virtual, we probably on the average were over 90% attendance. Some schools were at 98%. And on the other two snow days, we were close to 90% average too. So it was good. So the community and everybody pitched in. But finding that balance, that's why last year when I first got here, the calendar wasn't built. There were two non-negotiables. The first one is we had to have a snow day every semester, okay, snow day, not a snow week, built into the calendar. So that is built, but this time it was 3 to 4 days is where we were. And the other non-negotiable for me was at the beginning of the second semester, we had to have a PD day so teachers could get ready for kids before students start. So we're getting better as it goes through, but it does impact. When you don't have school, you cancel activities, and then you have to make them up. We have band concerts. We have music concerts.
Yeah.
We have those things packed on top of each other. So it also has to do with the time of the year. If you remember last year, we had snow days right at the very beginning of the school year when there's not supposed to be snow, and it came down super hard. But it's just a timing difference that goes through that. Fair?
Yeah. So, students, let me ask you, because there were some echoes of those dark COVID days, weren't there? Being back on, online,
PTSD.
You know. But how did you find it? Now you know why the decisions were made that way in last week for those late starts and the virtual day. How was it for you guys?
It was good. I think it definitely was planned out really well. It was weird being at home and on the computer. I mean, we did that for however many months our freshman year, and so it was weird feeling like that again. But I feel like everything went pretty smoothly for the most part. So.
Yeah, I do feel like everything went very smoothly and it was planned out very well.
So I want to reassure you as the superintendent, it would never be my goal to be virtual for anything longer than a couple days. However, that's Murphy's Law. But it's also changed since COVID because you have to have new policies. You have to have expectations. So when you go virtual, it's a little bit tougher. But I will tell you the new, so that's one of the conversations, is Mr. Oski's the snow day hater. So I'm really not the snow day hater. I try to do in the best interest of all. But the reality is when we talk about it is we have, people don't take it into consideration, but you got to have buildings that the heat is on. It's comfortable. And so we have some aging HVAC systems. That's the number one thing why we do have a virtual plan right now, because there are days that we cross our fingers. Mr. Zink and his team, nobody ever sees this, is working 24/7 to keep heat running. And so there always is that potential. There would be an emergency where you just can't have kids in the building, whether you like it or not, because we just don't have the heat. So. You just have to be proactive and kind of plan. You don't ever want to wish on it, but you do have to understand that we learned from this virtual day. We learned, can we do it? The answer is yes. What can we change? Yes. There are some things that we can do better at, but it was a good, I wouldn't want to say experiment, but it was a good opportunity to learn where we're weak, okay?
And of course the other thing is it's not just being in the building in school, it's getting to the building and getting to the building safely, especially for students who might be reliant on buses or other transportation, is, you know, that they're not standing outside for long periods of time in dangerous weather, or just that the roads are just not good enough.
Yeah, so Mr. Oski learned, and so I made a new collaborative piece, but the city of Buffalo and their maintenance crew, I just thought it was a given that they would be out, and they weren't, and so they got out within an hour and started clearing in front of schools, and the next day they were out at 2:00 in the morning clearing streets so you could get to school. A lot of those things that nobody sees, from transportation to facilities, so it all starts way early in the morning. And those of you that are signed up for the text or the message that Charles gets, it comes out pretty early in the morning, doesn't
it? Does.
But that's about 2 hours after we've been talking, so we've been up a while. But you can go right back to bed in most cases, or you can, why can't we have to go to work? Okay, so all those things, I hear both ends. And another thing, let's talk about the cold spell. This is a good opportunity to know that that's another whole factor we have to take into consideration, is wind chill factors and things of that nature. So the common practice is if wind chills drop below -32, that means frostbite can happen with under 10 minutes. So putting kids out on the roads. So it might be clear, but if we have a -50 on Wednesday, like they say we will, we wouldn't be coming to school. Okay. So wind chill is another thing we take into consideration.
So with this virtual snow day, is that like how snow days will be from now on out, or?
Everything is going to be dependent. So the way the policy reads is consecutive days. So if we had a bad snow day, we're probably just going to cancel school and make it up because it's built into every semester.
Sure.
But this time we had virtual is because there was a strong possibility if the storm would have moved in. And people said, well, we have to go to work. if it would have set in like they predicted it to, nobody would have been going to work. We could have been out for 3 days or more, okay? So it's a lot of dependent, okay? Fair?
Yes, definitely.
And what Mr. Oski did was to preserve school holiday intact and to help you all with your finals in this last week of school. So I think it worked out well.
I'm not a hater. I know school and all that kind of stuff, but I have to take in consideration the safety of the kids, the parents. There are 1,200 kids in this district and 350 employees, and then each one of those kids has a family. So you're impacting close to 5,000 people. So it's not something that I take lightly.
So what goes into, like, the planning to these virtual days, or is it kind of a play-by-ear?
Great question. So you have to watch the weather, which I didn't want to be a weatherman, but you do. And so we met as an admin team when it started ramping up, and the meteorologist said, hey, you need to be aware of this. And they said, in a couple hours, we're going to move it to a blizzard warning. So we have, each school has their own virtual plan in place. And then we sit down and had a conversation. Do we want to do this? Do we not want to do this? And what does this look like? So it's kind of a collaborative effort as we kind of move forward. Okay. You at the high school are a lot in a much better place with one-to-one. It's the elementary teachers that we'll call Mr. Oski. Hey, what are you doing? Because it's hard. It's really hard to switch.
Okay. Well, thank you, students. Thank you for asking Mr. Oski some great questions. I hope you've got the answers to your questions.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And we look forward to doing this again at some point, I believe.
Yes,
we do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I want to hear this. There's a lot of information here today. So if you don't feel comfortable and we want to repeat something, let's do it again. Okay.
Okay.
I did not want to intimidate or mislead, so there's a lot of facts here. Okay.
Yeah.
Great questions, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Mr. Oski.